Hey, buddy, welcome to Matt Men, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm Andrew Zarian. I'm joined by the king of Fort Totten, Rich Stambolian.
It's great. What's in Fort Totten? There's a military base.
It's a military base.
And a bridge.
Bridge.
What's considered Fort Totten? That, right?
Yeah.
That area.
It's like a historical society.
Dirty beach.
A filthy beach.
Dirty beach with some
homeless people.
A lot of syringes.
A lot of syringes.
A lot of Asian fishermen, too.
A lot of Asian fishermen fishing for like toxic fish.
Yes. It's gross. What's up, man?
How you doing?
How are you?
I'm good.
Great start to the show. I heard we have Brian Alvarez on later.
We got Brian Alvarez on after the show. We're going to put it. We did the interview with Brian before. Wink.
You're supposed to kayfabe that.
I'm not. I know. I ruined kayfabe. We interviewed Brian right before the start of the show. We're going to put it in. A lot of good stuff. A lot of interesting tidbits. You know, you talk to a guy that kind of knows people on the inside. You get some interesting things like, what happened to the NXT pay-per-view, the monthly show?
Yeah.
And why did it go away? And who did not want it to happen?
And when will we stop calling these things pay-per-views? Because if pay-per-views don't exist if you don't pay for them.
Yeah, you know, it's a difficult thing. I feel like if we call it like a special, it doesn't make it as special as a pay-per-view.
No.
You know, like, do you think that the pay-per-views are not the specials, the monthly specials for, I guess, the WWE don't feel as important because it's not a pay-per-view?
No, they do. They still feel important. You know what? I get really giddy like around the third week of like the go-home shows. You know why I get giddy? Because then I realize that I don't have to either pay $50, which
yeah.
I don't, or that I don't have to like scour the internet for a download.
I pay twice a year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You do Mania and Rumble.
I do Mania and Rumble.
Right?
I refuse to watch it in 720p at like an awful frame rate. I can't do it.
Yeah.
It doesn't look the same.
Your eyes are really attuned to that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Me, I don't care because everything gets blurry after four beers.
Yeah.
Well, I think also like I can never stop calling them like, because I used to order every pay-per-view, like the end of the Attitude Era into like maybe 2005. I would order every single pay-per-view.
Every single one, wow.
And do like, and but they were like a little cheaper back then too. But you'd have so it was like Brian will be talking about in the future about like, you know, the mid card and the undercard and the upper card were fantastic on those pay per views. I still call them. I would affectionately call them the peeps. You know,
yeah.
The peep. And I'd still say that. You know, like I'd tell my wife, I'd be like, oh, what are you doing Sunday night? And I'd be like, oh, the peep's on, and I don't got to pay for it. So I'm gonna order a pizza and drink a ton of beer and watch it.
By the way, by four beers, you mean four, like, IPAs.
No, four Miller High Life.
Miller High Life.
I'm a lightweight, and I get really rowdy and sassy after four Miller High Life.
That's perfect. So, are you watching anything on the network right now?
No, you know what? You totally lapped me as far as 98 goes.
Oh, I'm in May.
Okay, I started watching 98, and I got like four episodes in, and then I think like 2 days ago you were like, I'm way ahead of you, dude.
Yeah, I'm in May right now, but I am going to start holding off on them because I have wrestling fatigue at this point.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like how many times can I hear Mark Marrow's theme over and over again and Jeff Jarrett? That's it, by the way, that's all I've remembered at this point over and over again. It's just Jeff Jarrett and Mark Marrow. Constantly coming out.
There's a lot of a lot of Jarrett and Marrow.
Like, tons.
The weird thing about like watching that stuff back is what's interesting. Besides like all the really like pudgy dudes who look like they do pills all day, and then the guys who hide it really well.
Yeah,
you know, like the dudes who hide it really well. Like, and I'll say it because you know they've said it in the past. Like the New Age Outlaws. You know,
yeah.
Like in interviews they have said that our wrestling was time away from us popping pills. Right.
Isn't that crazy?
Those dudes hit it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Billy Gunn looked great. Road Dogg never had quite the physique, but they're one of the most entertaining teams.
Sure.
You get guys like DOA showing up, and you're like, these guys are just showing up loaded, you know?
First of all, a lot of DOA.
A whole lot of DOA.
Like, and Chains and 8-Ball.
Whatever his name is.
8-Ball.
They were do you think, the coffee just kicked in, by the way.
Okay.
I've been sitting quietly for 25 minutes, letting it festoon in my system.
I like it. You're getting riled up.
I am getting riled
like
up.
Like Randy Orton on Raw.
Ow. So the weird thing is, did somebody watch old Raw when they came up with the Aces and Eights angle and were like, you know what? We're not Sons of Anarchy. We're DOA.
Yeah. I mean, that's
think
almost,
about it.
Almost
yeah.
That.
It's pretty close.
I just watched a Raw where Triple H. They're in Manhattan, and they're, like, talking to people, and they're, like, being, like, asshole cool, you know? And like he goes up.
This
kind of
cool.
Like, this, like, spooky fingers everybody. They go up to, like, this poor Pakistani man that's selling newspapers, and he does, like, the worst, like, Indian accent.
Mm.
And then he goes, "Do you have Pakistani Fags magazine?"
This is great.
And they thought it was the funniest thing. And then, like, Road Dogg, and they're, like, giggling. And this poor guy's like, "No, sorry, we don't."
No.
I'm like, can you? This man is running the company now.
I know who you are, Triple H.
Yeah, like, I know you're Triple H. They're talking to the cops. The cops are going, "Suck it," with them.
That, I always thought that was really cool.
Really?
Like, New York City cops,
yeah,
you know, would just do, like, they were down before a certain time. New York City cops are pretty much down for anything.
They're down for anything. It was just, like, a weird period.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at right now. Just DX is doing, like, a bunch of 30-year-olds acting like 15-year-olds, which is great. I mean, how could you say no? I forgot how irrelevant China was at this point.
Yeah, this was, like, right before into her getting her boob job.
No, she got the boob job.
Did she?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're probably there. You're probably at the point.
I'm at the point where she just got the boob
job. Okay, so she had it. She has it, but, like, she's not, like when it was Triple H, HBK in China, like, you're like, holy crap, who is this Amazon?
Yeah.
You know, woman. Now it's just like she's just in the back.
Yeah.
She doesn't fit in at all.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
X-Pac is the greatest slime ball on the face of the planet.
Oh, absolutely.
I have become such an X-Pac fan. The best parts are sometimes he comes out with, can I have that?
What? This?
This? Yeah. So he'll come out.
Don't spill it. I'm still drinking that.
I'm gonna spit it out. He'll come out with like a solo cup.
Mm.
And he's just like, "Bleh." And I'm thinking, I'm like, that is great.
Thanks.
He's such a dirtbag. Here's your cup.
Can I have my scissor back?
Yeah, he's a scissor. So I'm at 98.
Mm.
It is amazing to see the transition. The other thing you notice a lot is a lot of, like, whips that are, like, Irish whips.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they're just running the ropes for the entirety of a match. And you don't see that anymore. Like, it's every other move is throwing you to the ropes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious on why. Maybe I'll ask Brian that later when I interview him.
Maybe you should.
Maybe I should, or maybe I'll forget to ask him that. but I just... It's interesting to see the transition overall in pro wrestling, you know, like to see the style changing.
Yeah. Just physiques, too.
Everybody, first of all, everybody's gigantic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody's so big.
Yeah. But they're still not 80s big.
Steve Blackman.
Big dude.
Big dude.
Al Snow is a big dude, too.
Now Al Snow is in great shape. Dan Severn.
Big dude.
Big fan of him.
Yeah.
I love this guy. Crazy mustache.
Mm-hmm.
Just, like, so much is happening. You got so many characters there, and then you got, like, Mosh and Thrasher.
Yep.
Which I hate. I hate the Headbangers.
I was never a fan of theirs. You know,
Golga.
You know what's a really weird thing? Watching that stuff back is you get to see the people who they tried to kind of wish the crowd really loved. Mark Mero was a great example of they were like, this guy's going to be one of our chosen people.
He's the first guy with a downside guarantee.
Yep. This guy's going to be one of our chosen ones. And guess what? He's got an amazing hot wife that just charmed the crap out of everybody who ever saw her, and she became the number one out of that relationship.
So right now I'm getting Edge vignettes.
Before his debut?
Before his debut. He has not debuted yet, but I'm getting his vignettes, and they're making him out to be really important in those vignettes. They're, like, really well done. He's, like, this handsome vampire guy.
Yeah, his debut was Rumble 99, right?
No. I'm in 98, and they're doing vignettes already. Okay. So he should be debuting soon. It keeps saying Edge is coming.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be interesting. I have not seen Gangrel yet.
Yeah.
He has not shown up. Christian is not. I mean, I thought Gangrel would be around. Or Val Venus debuted.
Yes.
Was not as over as we once thought. I mean, in the early times, he was not over. Steve Blackman, green.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He is green. But they're pushing... Jesus Christ.
Getting very excited about Steve Blackman.
Blackman, they were really pushing him. And Ken Shamrock is very confusing to watch.
Yes, I agree with that.
Because it feels like they gave up at this point on Ken Shamrock. Like he's not going to be a world champion.
Yeah, because like, that's how they started '98 with him against pretty much like the Nation
and Sean. He was fighting Sean and everybody. It's just interesting to see the transition. We'll be talking a lot about '98 in the coming weeks until I totally exhaust the entire year.
You're gonna get to the very end and just be like, "I'm done.
I'm done. Right, I'm done with yeah.
You. I'm done, Mr. Sacco."
So let's talk about the current product, guys.
Let's do it.
Extreme Rules is on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
The card looks good. I mean, it's a fine card.
Question mark underneath that?
No, I mean, there's nothing wrong with the card. I'm trying to compare it to last year's, because last year's Extreme Rules was really good.
It's been good for the last couple of years.
For the last couple of years. It's always a decent card. Mm-hmm. It's not an awful card. But that's so funny. The WrestleZone just reported what Brian said with us.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's really funny that they just at this very moment. That's really funny.
As heard on the Moment.
Yeah.
Like,
the Moment.
Damn it. it's Matt, man.
I'm trying to find the card here for Extreme Rules. The card looks pretty good. There's nothing wrong with it. It's going to be a decent show. Probably we're going to be very surprised with the match quality. It's going to have really good matches.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you do? You know, you got on the pre-show, you got Tyson Kidd, Cesaro versus New Day, Seth Rollins, Randy Orton for the title.
Yeah.
The gatekeeper, by the way, is going to be Kane.
Yes.
We found that on Raw. Cena, Rusev, Russian chain match. I believe this will be the end of that angle.
Oh, yeah?
I think so.
I don't know, man.
You don't think so?
I think there's another one maybe after that, because where's Rusev going to go? I found the card from last year.
Yeah.
All right.
Last year.
Torito with the Matadors versus Hornswoggle and 3MB.
Okay.
In the WLC match. That was the show opener.
I remember that, and that was actually surprisingly entertaining. That's what we said afterwards.
Right. Cesaro defeated Rob Van Dam and Jack Swagger.
I got really confused when I saw Rob Van Dam. I totally forgot that he was around.
Yeah. Rusev beat R-Truth and Xavier Woods.
This was the point where he was beating up on black people, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Bad News Barrett beat Big E.
Okay, for the IC title.
Right. The Shield defeated Evolution.
That was a phenomenal match.
20-minute match. Yeah. Amazing. Bray Wyatt with Luke Harper and Eric Rowan defeated John Cena by escaping the cage. That was a great match, too.
Yeah, that was a very good match.
Paige defeated Tamina Snuka by submission for the championship.
She should be coming back soon.
Yes. And you know what? I think my problem with... I remember this because I was like, you know what? There's something off about this one. Their main event was Kane versus Daniel Bryan, which was good. It was a 22-minute match. I remember that. But then I was like, oh, this is headlining the Extreme Rules. I love both the dudes, but, you know.
So this year, Dean Ambrose, Luke Harper, that's going to be... It's a Chicago Street Fight, going to be a great match. Fine. Roman Reigns, Big Show. See, I don't understand. First of all, it's a last man standing match.
Yeah.
Look at all the gimmicks here, okay? We got a last man standing match. We got a Russian chain match. We got a kiss my ass match.
Kiss my arse
match. Arse match. We got a Chicago Street Fight. We have all these like weird. We got a steel cage main event.
Mm.
It's like so many gimmicks being thrown into this.
Because
like,
it's Extreme Rules, bro.
Because it's Extreme Rules.
Yeah. What was once One Night Stand
has now become Extreme Rules.
Yeah.
It's going to be a fine card. I'm not. We need a forklift match. That's what we need. That's what Jeremy's saying in the chat room right now.
I want a friggin' buried alive match.
Yeah, you know what? I want a buried alive match too. Mm-hmm.
Bray Wyatt could do a buried. Bray Wyatt could easily inherit the mantle of buried alive.
How about casket matches?
Him too. Yeah, great. Bray Wyatt, give him all the Undertaker's forgotten gimmicks. You know.
Talking about the Undertaker, I discovered something amazing. Undertaker down in Memphis in 89. And there is a man. He was not the Undertaker. He was Lord of Pain at that point. That was his name, Lord of Pain. And he was teaming up with Papa Shango, the Soul Seeker.
Right.
You could see the evolution of their characters.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the WWE took them. But there is a man. Freddy Krueger, by the way, was totally over in Memphis.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
No.
Freddy Krueger was a wrestler. And Jason was a wrestler.
That's kind of neat.
Like, they had all these weird things. So, Freddy Krueger and Jason are going to face the zombie and the Undertaker.
Mm.
But it is not the Undertaker. It is the Undertaker's gimmick.
Yeah, okay.
That they took, you know. They had the Undertaker show up when he went to the WWE. So, that's actually really cool stuff. If you guys are interested in that, go check it out. Mark Calloway was really fast. I mean, he was like a really good worker at that time.
The basketball player, man, you got to be fast.
Yeah. So I don't know. This is a weird weird show. And
it's a good card.
Where's Bray Wyatt?
I think he's still calling out Ryback, and I think it's Ryback.
It has to be Ryback.
It's Ryback, or I you know what? As a fan, him and Ryback, I think it's dumb. Because it just, that feels like they're trying to push Ryback in a weird way, which is fine, but I don't know, man. I think you got to give Bray Wyatt more substance. If it's Roman Reigns, which is the other thing that people are talking about,
I would love that.
I think that would be fantastic for both of those dudes, you know, because Roman's supposed to be the golden child. They've worked together a ton. Yeah, and like, this is the thing that people are starting to forget, you know? Seth Rollins has been feuding with Randy Orton for like
a year.
Well, more than that, man. Yeah, like more because.
Well, last year's Extreme Rules, they had that match, and then, I mean, they've been in a feud for a long time.
Ambrose Harper, same thing when it was Shield versus the Wyatts. I think it's the end of that is going to be Bray Wyatt and Roman Reigns. I know everybody's dumping on Big Show Roman Reigns, but I think they're putting him with Show to make him better.
I guess they are, but I mean, they've been doing this for months now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Big Show and Roman Reigns have been wrestling for months, and nobody really cares. You know what I mean? Like, nobody cares. And I know they're trying to tell the story where Roman Reigns is the giant killer, but when your giant does not mean what it did 10 years ago, you're not really a giant killer at that point. And we've seen this match 5,000 times.
It feels like that.
I mean, we have. Mm. We've seen this match over and over and over again. I don't know where Big Show should go.
You know what's going to happen. Roman Reigns is going to beat the Big Show, and he's going to call himself the Giant Killer. And that sets up a return for the Great Khali, and they're going to have another Punjabi
prison match.
Yep.
Yeah. Devastating of a match.
I'd like to see, like, I still believe in Roman Reigns, you know?
No, listen, I think Roman Reigns is going to work. You know, if it wasn't for Daniel Bryan returning for Rumble, Roman Reigns would be the champion right now.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm 100% of that, on that. This guy, nobody was crapping on Roman Reigns to the extent, I mean, I'm sure people were, but to the extent that we saw until Daniel Bryan came back.
Yeah.
People really turned on this guy. If it was a year ago and they pushed him, if he won last year's Rumble, he would be praised at this moment.
Absolutely.
Right? Like,
absolutely.
Because that final scene was Rusev, him, you know, going at it. Yeah. Like, that was like one of the final guys.
That was
that
a
match.
Big moment in that Rumble.
That was
Rumble.
A huge moment in that Rumble where you're like, wow, these guys, that made Rusev really over. And that really made Roman Reigns into a star on his own.
That made him the cool guy.
He was a cool guy. And everybody wanted him to win at that point. They're like, we want to see Roman Reigns. And by not doing it at that time, and I understand why they didn't do it at that time, but I feel like that entire year of 2014, this guy, I mean, he kind of fell from grace. You know, like he wasn't as, but you know what? We could be wrong. We could honestly be wrong about this because he's getting cheered everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere. He's totally over in the house shows. People are not booing him like people think.
Do you think it's one of those things where it's like, yo, man, we're sorry for booing you?
I think it's a TV taping, you know, and
we
it's
still
a different
like
crowd.
Yeah.
It's a totally different crowd. But Reigns will be over. I just don't see him getting over with fighting the Big Show.
Yeah, I think he can. And if he beats him in a certain way, then absolutely. I think he can definitely get over. But
this guy has yet to hold a title. That's the other thing.
Besides the tag belts.
Besides the tag. I mean, well, no, I don't think he was. Was he tag? He was. Besides
him,
the tag belts.
Him and Rollins,
Yeah, him and Rollins. But this guy, you know, you want to get him over. You know what you do? You have him challenge John Cena for the U.S. title. And you have him beat John Cena for the U.S. title.
Okay, that's a good. I would like to see that feud.
Now you've set up a future feud for them for when one of them gets that world. When he wins that world title, John Cena challenges and he wants the title.
16
and
times.
That's his 16th time.
You think so?
That's the story there.
Okay.
And he loses. And he doesn't get that 16 time. You just made this guy into a huge star.
Mm-hmm.
There was meaning behind it. There's personal meaning behind it. But you got to put a title on this guy, and you have to have him dominate and be legitimate. I know that they're trying to legitimize these secondary belts, but this is the way to do it. I think John Cena is great as U.S. champion right now. I totally buy it that he's doing these open challenges. The Kane match, it was exciting. It wasn't bad. It wasn't awful. I wasn't like, wow, this sucked. Randy Orton, I loved his promo on Raw. He's fired up, and I like that he's like this badass guy, you know? He's like
You mean Steve Austin.
He's Steve Austin. Yeah, he's Steve Austin. He's slithery.
Yeah.
Both of them are snakes, right? One's a rattlesnake, and one is just a slithery
snake. Snake
man. And he was stunning everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
He did exactly what Austin has done in 1998.
It's. I think they're just like, be more like Steve Austin. He's like, okay. I think the resolution to the Roman Reigns Big Show thing is you put him over if he shows, and which they've been doing lately, have him show up at another part of the pay-per-view. You know, like Roman Reigns beats Big Show, and then all of a sudden he's at the ramp staring at Rollins and Orton, you know, or he's staring at Cena, like you said. You know, like that's how you put more importance on these guys. What do you think about Ziggler versus Sheamus?
I actually like Sheamus's new look.
Same
I
here.
Think he looks insane.
What Siri?
What is Siri talking
my
to?
I have Hey Siri on my phone. If you say Hey Siri, like it'll come up. And I guess it just tried to look up exactly what you were talking about.
What was your question? Sheamus. I like Sheamus's gimmick. I think it's fine. But I just feel like they need to freshen this up. You know, like they need to. I don't want to see Bad News Barrett versus Dolph Ziggler. I don't want to see Sheamus versus Bad News Barrett. I don't want to see Sheamus versus Dolph Ziggler. Like, I don't want to see these anymore. I want to see different people put into the mix wrestling these guys. I want to see something different. I feel like this mid-card, it's the same guys wrestling each other all the time, and nobody's getting elevated, and everybody's just staying, you know, where they are. How will it help if, you know, Bad News Barrett and if Dolph Ziggler, Sheamus, who's that helping in a Kiss My Ass match?
You know what? I feel like I think on paper Sheamus should win that match because they're trying to establish him as like a new badass.
Yeah.
You know what? And I kind of like what they're doing with Ziggler now too. You know, like he's I think the vest for some reason does it for me. Maybe because I'm a huge fan of 80s metal.
The vest.
And I'm a big fan of the vest. Real quick before I forget too, I think the other end of that we were talking, Daniel Bryan versus Bad News Barrett. I think the match is actually going to end up being Barrett versus Neville.
Barrett versus Neville.
Yeah.
For what?
For nothing, because they did a tag team for SmackDown later, Neville and Ziggler versus Sheamus and Bad News Barrett, you know? That makes me think that since Barrett and Neville have worked together, they're both English.
Yeah.
That might be the match on Sunday. Daniel Bryan gets injured. Daniel Bryan gets injured on the show. Let's say they put the belt on a ladder. Fine. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
And Neville wins. Neville goes over, gets the IC belt.
So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff happening. That IC title, it's open. The U.S. title's open. You got Money in the Bank coming up.
Yep.
My prediction, Brock Lesnar wins Money in the Bank and cashes in the same way.
All right. That kind of makes sense. Brock has never held the Money in the Bank, right?
Brock? No.
Yeah, no.
No.
Okay.
No.
See, that's something that I'd like to see as like maybe the mysterious sixth entrant or eighth entrant or whatever they did. I think last year they had like eight dudes, right?
Yeah, it was a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot of people. Nikki Bella and Naomi. So are the Bellas faces now?
I think so.
So we totally, they're just faces?
Out of nowhere, they're just faces. I think you had like a weird double, hey Spencer, you had like double turn of Cesaro and Kid now kind of being the default faces in that match with the New Day. And I really thought Lucha Dragons were gonna go. I would much rather see Lucha Dragons versus Tyson Kidd and Cesaro.
I think they're gonna build to that. You know, like first of all, I love the Lucha Dragons. Mm-hmm. Do not split them up ever.
No, yeah, you're right.
They're great together. Kalisto is great. Sin Cara 2 is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. They're just it's fun to watch them.
Yeah.
And you know, this tag division seems interesting now. With Tyson Kidd, Cesaro, that is, they are great mm. as a tag team. The fact thing is great. They keep yep. going fact. Cesaro cutting a promo is the most hilarious thing because he leaves out certain letters from words. It's great to hear him talk. You actually, we're going to look back at this and see Tyson Kidd, Cesaro, and be like, wow, that was a phenomenal tag team.
I think so. I think this does well to elevate both of them, if not at least maybe Cesaro, you know? Because they're good. They're good to work with to help like other guys out. And plus, like, I think Cesaro still has a big future and possibly being in the main event picture at some point.
Yeah. You know what's interesting? The undercard, like Luke Harper, this guy, he got a promo on Raw, which it's not too often that we hear from him. I think he's going to have a big year this year. Mm. He is a big dude. He's a tough dude, and he's a good worker. I like this guy, and he has a bizarre look to him.
Yeah.
This is going to be a good heel for, John Cena.
Yeah.
This is going to be a good heel for Roman Reigns. The problem is, when you feed heels like this to these guys, what happens?
Yeah.
You know, like, how do you... After this program, where does Rusev go after the John Cena program?
Well, so you think Cena is going to retain and Rusev is going to move on to something else?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
They're going to have to end it. I mean, this is their third match. That's it.
Yeah.
Unless Cena loses the title.
I think that would be too soon.
You think it's too soon for this?
Because what do you do with John Cena if he loses the title? He'll automatically get into that title, that world title picture again.
You know? Unless he goes for the IC title.
Which is also cool.
He becomes a 16-time IC champion.
Keep the U.S. belt on him until like SummerSlam or something.
Yeah, the open challenge thing is awesome. I really like it. Mm-hmm. I think it's great. It brings something in. It's something different.
That also sets up any return, too. Or like a debut or something.
Get a big debut or a return. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Batista.
Batista said that he wouldn't mind doing house shows.
That's cool.
And he does not want to go on TV because the writing sucks. Mm-hmm.
I did read that interview. Yeah. Rob Van Dam, another possible.
Is he coming back?
Jericho. You know, like all these dudes are kind of like floating around.
But you know what I mean? Like that's like a cool like
Hogan
early fantasy match. Like you don't know who's going to show up. Mm-hmm. You're right. Hogan challenges for the U.S. title.
Yeah. And that kind of makes the title more important. And plus, it's always fun. It's always fun to see a title match, and it's always interesting to see who is going to come out. You know, like in the last few weeks is Dean Ambrose, Stardust. Who was the last guy that came out
last week? Kane.
Yeah, Kane. Okay. Yeah. And then Monday, I'm sure you're going to have another one. It's a cool thing to keep going because even if it's like some dude, like let's say Neville shows up one week.
Yeah,
it's
going to be a great match.
You know, yeah. It's a fun thing that they should keep doing. The IC belt, unfortunately, that belt has been cursed for like a couple of years now because when Barrett had it, he was injured. He had to get stripped of the title. Now Danny Bryan could be injured, may have to get stripped of it.
Wasn't Dolph Ziggler. Dolph Ziggler got a concussion on it.
Yeah.
It's weird. Like
the cursed belt, bro.
The cursed belt. The cursed belt. Randy Orton and Seth Rollins, this will probably lead to another one after this. You know, they just began this program, so we have two more matches to look forward to.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, they're not going to end that. But Kane is interesting because Kane is looking like he's going to turn face.
Yeah.
Then you're going to get Kane, Seth Rollins.
Which is cool. That's
fine. Which is okay. I mean, it depends. I mean, you know what? He's going to come back. He's going to be the big red machine again. He's going to put on the mask.
I'd rather see him with the tights and not the mask.
No, I want all of it.
Yeah.
I want the spooky, eye makeup underneath too.
The fake hair.
Fake hair. I want all of it. Fake hair. Fake Kane versus Kane. Mm-hmm. One of the most hilarious things you will ever watch.
It's very bizarre. Who was fake Kane?
Luke Gallows.
Yes.
And they screwed him up by giving him the worst wig ever.
Yeah, I remember that.
It looked so bad. It looked awful, actually.
They gave, I remember one year they gave The Undertaker a really awful wig, too.
Oh, when he showed up. Yeah.
I want to say it was
Triple H.
The Hell in a Cell match.
Yeah, he showed up and he had long hair. And then he.
Awful long
hair. And then they're like, what are we doing? Mm-hmm. What's going on? I guess they didn't want to debut him with a shaved head.
Yeah.
Other than that, I mean, it's been a Lucha Underground, great stuff happening. If you want to watch a great show, watch this week's Lucha Underground. NXT, by the way, going to Albany.
Yeah.
Going to be at the Armory?
In a couple of weeks. I may get tickets to that because my brother lives right by there.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a two-hour drive.
Yeah, it's not bad. So
take the train.
The train also takes like 2 hours.
Yeah.
Plus you have to get like picked up. Do you like riding on trains?
I do. I love trains.
Yeah?
Ride the trains.
Okay. I'm not a big train guy.
Do you drive into the city or you take a train in?
It depends.
No, I refuse to drive into the city.
Why not?
Lunatics do that. Well, crazy people.
Sometimes you gotta go that route.
Sometimes. We have a busy show, guys. We have Brian Alvarez going to be on the show today.
Yes. Can't wait for that interview.
Can't wait for that interview. May have done it before the show. what are you watching right now? Is there anything you're watching on the network?
You know what? I've been pretty busy lately. So apart from NXT and some Raws, I've actually caught the, I don't know if I talked about this last week, but I actually watched the that Booker T documentary.
How was it?
It's not bad, to be honest. And like I wanted to say that I should say that in the future when we talk about the death of WCW is that, you know, Vince, from the revisionist history standpoint, people were up in arms. You know, like you guys will be talking about how sad that day was when the doors finally closed, and yet Ric Flair wrestling in a T-shirt versus Sting for the last time, and Booker T winning the last championship.
Yeah.
Through watching all that stuff unfold, Vince was like, you know what? I got my money's worth from that library and from Booker T. And that's it.
Yeah, because Booker T, you know, it was interesting because Scott Steiner was being praised that day of mm-hmm. that last show because he actually came to the show and he pulled Booker T over and gave him the title.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like that was a big deal for them. Booker's career has been fascinating because the guy, he should have beat Triple H at that Mania for that world title. That year.
Yeah.
That would have been the year. Mm. And they just didn't go with it. They just didn't go with it.
Yeah.
And it sucked the energy out, I think, from his push and him as, you know, this big guy. But, I mean, listen, he was going up against all the odds. Mm. He came in, and who'd he feud with? Austin, yep. Rock.
Triple H. He had a great career in WWE.
Yeah, a better career in WWE than he did in WCW.
Tag team with Goldust.
He was, and that was hysterical.
King Booker, which was also hysterical.
Yeah.
It was amazing. And then a couple of years ago, he had that return match with that return feud with Cody Rhodes, which is also awesome. Dude's a good worker, very underrated.
You think he's going to go down as one of the most underrated guys?
I think so.
He's 50. He looks great.
Yeah,
he's in great condition.
I definitely think Booker T is one of the most underrated guys. The documentary was interesting too, because like it's a lot. Like sometimes you watch these things and it's like entertain me with stuff I already know, you know. But this one was kind of cool because they touch on a lot of stuff that I had no idea about his life and like his career and how Stevie Ray actually got him into wrestling.
Stevie Ray got him into it. You know, he's a guy that has kind of been erased. Right? In the WWE version of Booker T. Like, Stevie Ray has the kind of, like, they never talk about Harlem Heat ever.
Mm.
And it's one of the greatest tag teams in pro wrestling.
Absolutely. Harlem Heat were frightening.
I mean, it was two gigantic black dudes from Harlem with Sherry.
From Harlem.
They were Harlem Heat with Sherry. Sherry was the most terrifying part of them.
Mm. Yeah, Sherry was great. And that was, like, a cool thing, too. They touched on that, too. They were like, well, we're from Houston. We couldn't really call ourselves Houston Heat.
Because
it didn't sound as badass, you know? It was interesting. It's on the network. Like, there's a lot of those 30-minute documentaries on the network, which...
They got to do more of those.
Yeah, and they have all the old ones on there, too. Like, the Big Show one, the Jericho one. I think both Batista documentaries are on there, you know?
You know what's interesting? Like, it doesn't do it for me, those documentaries.
No?
No.
I'm a fan. I love all of those.
Do you like it?
I love all those.
I would rather have them do, like, weird specials.
Mm.
I'll tell you something off the air. I can't tell you right now. But I would rather have them do these weird specials where, you know, you have a guy come in, like Scott Hall. Like, they're going to be doing it, right? Like, they said there's going to be, like, an NWO thing that they're going to do. That's awesome. I wouldn't mind seeing that. Like, it's different. It's not... You don't have to have these guys sitting and telling the same stories over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Have them do something creative.
Yeah.
You know, like have them do bits. Have DX do a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought, you know, one of the best shows that they did was that Josh Matthews and Road Dogg show on YouTube.
The 5 minute. What were they thinking?
Yeah, yeah. What were they thinking? Like, I thought that was a great show.
It's, you know what? For anybody that hasn't watched that, go check it out because it's really funny. And I don't know if it's on the network at this point.
No, it's not.
But you can probably find them on YouTube. There was like it went into like really weird territory.
Obscure references,
and also they had like a puppet Triple H show up in a few episodes.
Yeah.
And they had, I think they had like another a lot of like interesting wacky stuff.
Well, the storyline was that they were locked in Titan Towers in the basement,
right?
And they were being forced to watch awful wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
There was like something about WCW. I forgot the WCW bit that they did.
Yeah.
WCW ruins everything. That's what it was. WCW ruins everything.
Yeah. And they touched on a lot of like really, I think they did like one episode about how when Goldust was like, what in WCW? They did like a lot of like Dustin Rhodes stuff.
Yeah. The thing that got him fired from WCW. What was that? Mm. Oh, it was that like trailer match. I think it was him and the Boss Man in this like weird like tractor trailer match on a highway. The tractor trailer is like going. It's like 10 cars.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're driving and they're wrestling in the back of this tractor trailer. And they weren't supposed to do color.
Mm.
And Dustin did color and they fired him. And that's when he went over to Vince and became the androgynous character known as Goldust.
Was he ever called the androgynous misogynist?
The androgynous misogynist. That'd be great.
That'd be kind of a good
gimmick. Self-hating man.
Yeah, that should be your next gimmick.
The androgynous misogynist.
Your three phases of Zarian would be Wild Pegasus 9, the androgynous misogynist. We got to figure out a third one for you.
We need another gimmick.
Yeah.
We need another. Oh, I have one, actually.
What is it?
The Persian.
The Persian?
Did you not see The Persian?
Do you come out like Muhammad Hassan?
I kind of. That's exactly what I have the Iron Sheik pants.
Uh-huh.
And I have the Iron Sheik headscarf.
Awesome.
And I just come out like that, and I don't speak a word of Persian.
That's fantastic.
I'm not even Persian. I'm just like, I'm actually Irish, and everybody thinks I'm Iranian. Entire gimmick is that I'm not Iranian. This is just what I choose to wear.
Yeah, that's your fashion
sense. I'm just
a
guy. This is like my fashion sense.
Speaking of dressing like a Shah, did you see the Sheik documentary?
Very good documentary.
On Netflix, yeah.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to tell you something. I watched that documentary. I had a screener a couple months ago, about a year ago when it came out. And I watched it, and it was very good. I feel like the end was like too long. Mm. It was like 10 minutes too long. But I mean, you know, like that's the whole thing. You got to tell the story. But I feel like if it was a little tighter, it would have been very, very good.
Okay, it gets really, really sad at one point.
Oh, with the daughter dying
and his rampant drug abuse.
Yeah, he's like doing like crack, like a 60-something-year-old man just doing crack.
Yeah, yeah.
And, but now, you know what's interesting? Like now he's like cleaned up, but like not really. He's like, oh, sometimes I still drink.
I still smoke weed. And
still smoke a little weed and still smoke, you know, drink a little bit. I thought it was a good documentary. It would have been great if they had some sort of footage, you know.
Mm.
But it was great. They had The Rock.
That was the thing. Like for as far as like the guys who showed up on it, you're like, oh, that's kind of cool. Like they actually had The Rock.
They also explained. I think was it in that one that they explained what Jabroni was.
I don't know.
Like it's Jobber. He was calling someone a Jobber, and he couldn't like put his words together. And they started calling him Jabronis. Like, he was calling somebody a jobber, and I think he mixed the name in that and became Jabroni.
Mm.
He invented Jabroni.
Kayfabe, bro.
Yeah.
Industry standard kayfabe right
he
there.
He invented Jabroni. So going up to SummerSlam, I mean, this lead up, these angles that we're seeing on TV now, I don't know where they're going to go with this. Like, Paul Heyman has to come back soon.
Yeah. With a face Brock Lesnar.
I mean, Brock's a babyface. I mean, there's no question about it.
Yeah.
I think he should win Money in the Bank, go in, cash in, and screw Roman Reigns from the with the title.
That's a good. That's a good plan.
And this makes Roman Reigns enraged, and he becomes a heel.
Does Seth retain?
No. Seth loses.
No. I mean, I'm saying this coming Sunday.
Oh yeah, Seth is going to hold that title for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's going to be a little bit of a swerve. I think you're going to have...
He's a very good champion. He's slimy. You know, he runs away. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a great heel.
He's the heel to chase.
Yeah. Titus O'Neil, by the way. Did you see that?
No.
On Raw, there was a backstage segment. Seth Rollins is, like, running away because he's afraid of Randy Orton.
Mm-hmm.
And Titus O'Neil comes up and goes, bleh!
Yeah,
and he terrifies him. It was so good.
That I do remember that. I think I have a weird feeling that you're gonna get a Randy Orton title win, this Sunday.
Yeah,
and I think they're gonna do the Brock Lesnar Randy Orton at some point.
Brock Randy Orton.
Yeah,
why that?
I just feel like that's, you know, as far as like guys to work with, I think that's probably something that they've talked about forever. And just might as well make it happen. Now, keep this in mind, though. Randy Orton will say what you want about John Cena or Roman Reigns. Their other golden boy has always been Randy Orton.
Yeah, I mean, this is the first time I actually like him. Mm-hmm. You know, like I like him as a face. He seems to be I think he understands how to do his character now as a face, and that's a difficulty he's had because he's so good as a bad guy. You know, he's essentially Steve Austin now, just tormenting people. I don't understand the stipulation that he can't use the RKO in a no DQ match.
Yeah.
That makes no sense. You want to talk about the curb stomp?
Yeah, it's the official explanation was that it's not banned. They just want him to use something that could be used anywhere at any time.
Yeah, unless they're making that into like a special.
Mm.
You know, the curb stomp becomes like
the punt.
Does he use the punt now?
No. That becomes like Orton's punt because they got rid of the punt.
Yeah, like it almost becomes like, well, I can't bring this guy down. Like when he uses it on Brock Lesnar, that's going to mean something.
Yeah.
You know, that he brought this super finisher.
Like that's his last ride.
It's like in Capcom versus Marvel, like when you got like three bars for the special and Akuma does that like final blow, that's what it is.
And all three dudes just show up and do the big Hadouken.
I don't like his finisher though. It's like the weird face first DDT.
I think they're gonna have to work on that. You know, it's like they do like this weird shit sometimes, right? Like when they change Rollins' finisher. I think I want to say four times since he debuted with the Shield, right?
Seth Rollins. What was it? It was
his original finisher from the Indies was a super kick to a kneeling opponent. So somebody's on their knees and he'll super kick them inside of the head. But didn't let him use because Del Rio had that at the time, right? His other move was a headlock reverse like fall. Like it was like a reverse cutter.
Okay.
Remember that? Like So he won a bunch of matches for the Shield with that, right? Third one, curb stomp, and then now it's like this weird DDT.
Front facing DDT.
Right.
Yeah.
And they did the same thing with Ambrose too. Ambrose is,
but he has the DDT also. He's doing, you know, the kick up, you know, double arm DDT.
He's doing the cactus DDT, but he had Dirty Deeds, the other Dirty Deeds, which was like the falling forward DDT. It was like the face slam DDT. And before that he was using the Regal Stretch.
Was he?
Yeah.
I just let this guy do his finisher. Like I thought the curb stomp was really stupid the first time I saw it. And I'm like, wow, this is awesome.
Yeah.
And now that it's awesome, nobody cares. Like it's gone. Let's get rid of it. And I guess what's the point of it? Like they're getting rid of it because it's like head trauma. You don't want to like give the guys head trauma.
Yeah. Same thing with the punt. That's the, you know.
I mean, then any kind of move, a DDT, you should not do a DDT.
Mm-hmm.
Should not do a pedigree. Shouldn't do anything with the neck or head.
So just cancel all wrestling.
Cancel all wrestling.
So it kind of revolves around everybody's neck and or head.
I'm curious if this has anything to do with the lawsuit. That concussion lawsuit.
Yeah, you never know. It might have something to do with Daniel Bryan also getting hurt. You know, just like injured guys who need to take time away from their jobs.
I don't know. I just let the guy do his finisher, man. Just how many times are we going to have, like, what else? That move is not great.
That's gonna change. DDT. I guarantee it. That's going to change to something else. Change. Yeah, it's going to be something kind of interesting that they probably come up with. You know?
Like, I hate the zigzag. I hate Dolph Ziggler's finisher.
Do you like the Famous or better?
I like the Famous or much better, and I like the super kick much better.
The days of really classic finishers are, like, coming to an end because all the good ones are taken.
Yeah, but I mean, you could recycle moves. I mean, you could. How many guys are going to do a DDT as a finisher?
Oh, I think that's going to be a standard thing until, like, you know, something else comes along. But like, take Batista for example. Like in at the time where they kind of didn't do a lot of power bombs, his finisher was the sit down power bomb.
Yeah,
you know, Same thing with like Kevin Owens. Yeah, of course, like he can't do a package power driver, but he could do like a pop up power.
Oh yeah, he did the Phoenix Splash.
Yeah,
I forgot that's what he did. He did a Phoenix Splash. Mm. Seth Rollins.
Yes, yeah, it was his.
Yeah, that's what it was.
The big tumbly thing.
Yeah, the big tumbly thing.
I don't know.
I mean, what else? What's Luke Harper's finisher? Nobody knows.
I think it's like a big clothesline. It's like that twirly clothesline.
Oh, it's a super clothesline. Okay. Yeah. That's fine. Big man doing a clothesline.
Cody, the Rhodes have great finishers.
Yeah.
Neville, like that's a thing. Like Neville's probably going to get that change at some point.
Oh, the flip?
The red arrow.
Yeah, because he is not going to be able to do that every single week at every single show. That is not a good move to have if you want longevity.
Yeah.
He needs something else other than, you know, twirly sky move.
Mm-hmm. It's all the good finishes to take, man. It's tough. It's a tough game out there if you want to have an awesome finishing move.
How about a really good suplex?
Sure.
Jackknife.
Mm-hmm.
How about a jackknife? We haven't seen a jackknife in a while.
If I had to, I'd give that to Big E.
Give the jackknife to Big E.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what else.
Cesaro's uppercut. Awesome.
That's a good finisher. That's a very good finisher. Daniel Bryan.
Running knee.
I love the running knee.
Same here.
I love it because you could do it like 3-4 times.
Mm.
Like, I want them to start doing what Japan does. Like, you hit the finisher, you pick him up immediately, you do a secondary finisher.
The combos?
Yeah. Like, yeah. I'm a big fan of those combos.
Yeah.
Like, Daniel Bryan won with like a random running knee was great against a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Because you didn't expect that. You thought, okay, they're going to do running knee, he's going to kick out, and he's going to get him in the lapel lock, you know, and that's it. All right. It's time.
Is that it?
No. It's time. Guys, we have Brian Alvarez coming on in a couple minutes on the show, and we're going to wrap it up from there. We'll be right back with Brian Alvarez right after this. And we're back. We took a little break to bring our guest here on Mat Men. Hey, Rich.
Hey.
Hey.
Great conversation we were just having.
Really weird conversation we were all having here. Couple times Brian's been on with us. Brian Alvarez is here. How you doing, Brian?
I'm doing pretty well.
Brian, what is going on in professional wrestling right now? So much is happening. You know, Mania was humongous. I thought it was one of the better ones. I really enjoyed the show as a whole, and I really thought this would be kind of like a turning point of sorts, and it seems like they have gone back to, I guess, idle.
Yeah. Well, you know, they were idle going in and they're idle coming out.
Yeah.
Some people get mad at me about this, but I don't really care. If I cared, I probably would watch the show, but I haven't watched WrestleMania yet. I went there live and I thought, man, this is, of all the years I've been going to Mania, I've gone every year since I think 2006, 2007. And I thought, of every year that I've gone live to WrestleMania, this is by far the best WrestleMania I've ever been to. This has to be one of the great WrestleManias of all time. And Dave, because he's Dave, he went back and he watched it again because he likes to get a read of how was the show live and how was the show watching it on video. And so he goes back and he watches it, and then it wasn't so great the second time around. And I just kind of thought, I guess I could probably go watch it and then I could tell people that it wasn't as great as I thought it was. Or I could just really enjoy the memory of one of the great WrestleManias of all time and be happy. So I have not gone back and watched it yet, and I probably won't. I'm very satisfied with having seen it live and enjoyed it a lot, and that's enough for me.
I mean, I guess you want to keep that memory. I thought, you know, watching it on TV, I thought it was... I guess my experience is a little messed up too because, well, you didn't watch it live, right, Rich?
I was away.
You were away. You were a year off of WrestleMania because you were in New Orleans.
Right. I got these tickets.
Yeah, you got there a little late.
I got bum tickets from a dude.
I watched it with like 25 people here.
Mm-hmm.
And half of them had never seen professional wrestling in their life. And the like two people, the last time they saw wrestling, Bruno Sammartino was world champion.
Yeah.
What was that?
Why did they come over out of curiosity?
That's a very good question. So I have a party every year, and my wife invited her friends over this year.
I see.
So, but they all got into it. They all got into it. Like, they try to explain to someone why a man is running down to the ring with a briefcase.
Mm.
You know, that has never seen professional wrestling, like, has no idea what this is.
Yeah.
And, like, everybody's going nuts. Like, it was great to watch it with a group of people. Watching it alone, I kind of agree with Dave. It was kind of like, eh.
It's right. It's one of those big, when you have those big events, it's a societal, it's a communal thing. You want to enjoy it with somebody else. I did see Steve from the bar, though, and I asked him about it.
And he
said he had a great time.
He had a great time.
He was like, I was there, and I had a great time.
The last time he saw wrestling, he saw Superfly at the Garden.
Mm-hmm.
So that he's going back a long time.
It was Luthez.
Luthez was wrestling, yeah.
It is the big show of the year, and there's 70,000 people there, 67,000 people, whatever the number is. They're all going crazy. And whether WrestleMania is like a great in-ring show or not, it is a huge show. You had Rusev coming out in a tank. You had all of these fancy entrances, and I mean, it's just a real big show. And when you watch it with a bunch of crazy fans, and keep in mind, these are people that came from all over the world, and they're determined to have a good time, and they're determined to make this a fun show. And when you're there in that crowd, I mean, another thing that Dave noted was when you watch the Sting match and you know what's happening, it's really not that great. But it's kind of unfair to look at it that way, because when you watched it live and you didn't know what happened, that was how the thing was designed.
Yeah.
And so watching it the first time, I mean, it was great to see everybody come in. And I mean, every time a new person came in, everybody around me just going, there's the Road Dog or whoever, just going crazy. And it really made for like a really, really fun match. And if it's not as good the second time, who cares?
Who cares? It was great the first time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So talking about not good the second time, I want to talk about Extreme Rules coming up and everything that's leading up. There's so much craziness happening. But since we're talking about like going back and watching stuff,
yeah,
I have gone down the vortex of 1998 on the WWE Network.
Mm-hmm.
Brian, that was supposed to be a good year, right? 98 was a really good year.
well, we could really talk about that. Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Since you had a bunch of friends over for WrestleMania, because I have a theory, and I don't know if it's true, but I've been thinking about it a lot. So I remember in 98 and 99 and 2000 and 2001, I started wrestling in 98. And by 2001, we're doing these shows, and there's a ton of people there. This is a tiny indie show in Tacoma, Washington. And Tacoma, Washington is not a wrestling hotbed. And there's like 600 or 700 people there.
Wow, that's tremendous.
Because wrestling was hot, and so it spilled over into all the indies. So 2002, 2003, 2004, everything just goes down just falls off the cliff. And it was off the cliff for a long time. And it seems that like in the last year, if you look at like all of these indie shows, Ring of Honor, in the Northeast, there's tons of shows that, you know, you just hear this random show that drew 1,500 people or something crazy like that. And my theory is that we're not really in a boom period right now, but I think a lot of people have come back for the WWE Network. And they're still not even watching Raw regularly right now. I mean, you haven't seen the Raw numbers rise. If anything, the Raw numbers are going down a little bit. But I think a lot of people, a lot of fans who gave up on wrestling have come back in the last year, and they're watching the WWE Network. And maybe they're a little more open to going to indie shows. I don't know if there's a tie in here, but it does seem that ever since the network launched, the indie scene has done a little better. Maybe it's NXT. I don't know what it is, but it seems like in the last year. Do you have friends that came over for this WrestleMania that aren't watching Raw? They didn't watch it before Mania. They're not watching it after Mania, but they did buy the WWE Network, and they go back and watch stuff.
Yeah, like two or three people, actually. My wife's cousin, he was a wrestling fan when he was younger. He got the network. And now he's watching all this stuff that happened, but he's not watching Raw regularly.
Mm.
Maybe he'll watch a pay-per-view, but there's a lot of people like that. And I can tell you something, Ryan. A lot of my friends, mid-30s, these are guys that were into the Attitude Era. They just totally dropped off after that. They have the network, and they're watching wrestling again. I mean, in general, I know people going to indie shows in California. There's like a Hood Slam, which is like big in LA, like mm-hmm. in the LA area, like people are going to. The indie scene here in New York is doing decent. There's just so much wrestling. And mm-hmm. people, I don't know if you agree with me on this, Brian, but please tell me. The WWE may not be hot right now, but professional wrestling, as far as how much wrestling exists, how much good wrestling exists, I can't think of an era that has this much good wrestling happening.
That we have so much access to.
That we have access to. Lucha Underground.
Well, if you go back to the days of the territories when everybody had local TV, if you were Dave, a guy like Dave, and you had a VCR, I mean, there was great wrestling all over that you could get your hands on.
Sure.
As far as like the last, even the late 90s, you had WWF, WCW, ECW. There were other groups like Smoky Mountain. You could get wrestling from Japan and Mexico. I mean, there have been plenty of times where there's been a lot of great wrestling, but
it wasn't readily available all at the same time to everybody.
You could go out of your way and get tapes and that sort of thing. I mean, today, if you've got a decent cable package, yeah, there's a lot. There's Lucha Underground on El Rey and Udimas. There's TNA if you want to get Destination America. WWE, there's the network. I mean, if you've got the internet, there's stuff like WWN Live. You can get all the shows. I mean, there is tons of great wrestling out there. If you're a hardcore fan, it's a great time to be a fan. I don't really know how mainstream it is. It's a little more mainstream because WWE is making friends with like people from ESPN, and you've got Michelle Beadle and people like that that are talking about wrestling. And I mean, it's a little more mainstream, but it's certainly not a boom period right now. But it is kind of a boom period if you're a hardcore fan.
If you're a hardcore fan, I mean, this is great. You know, New Japan, for example. Mm. I've been following New Japan for a number of years because I used to listen to Brian and Dave years ago on IATA, and Dave would talk about New Japan, and he would talk about All Japan, and that got me interested. You started, you know, the first thing you do when you look up, at that point in the early 2000s, you Google Japanese wrestling, you see Hayabusa, and you see all these crazy things happening.
Always Muda.
Muda, you know, like you see these things, and you're like, wow, this is so different than what you're seeing. Hmm. And that kind of introduced me to it, but as far, I mean, New Japan is doing great stuff. I mean, the match quality is unbelievable. Very different, but unbelievable. Ring of Honor is Ring of Honor, and they're still chugging along. TNA, I know, Brian, you have not been watching a lot of TNA, but the TV...
I've been watching occasionally.
But the TV's not bad.
No.
I mean...
It's not bad.
It's not bad, but, you know, you go, eh. And then you remember all the awfulness from years past.
Mm-hmm. The problem is it's so off the radar right now. I mean, I can watch it and I can talk about it, but you'll always have a couple of people on our message board that are very angry if you skip TNA. But the reality is most people don't care because not watching it. And sometimes there are things that people don't watch a lot of, but they still want to know what's going on. And I never get that with Impact. It just, as soon as they went to Destination America, it was just like, it was off the radar.
Yeah.
And the shows are usually good now, but it's not even like, okay, let's say you're a person who doesn't want to watch Raw, okay? And all you want to do is you want to listen to the Brian and Vinny show or whatever. You want to know what happened. If there's something really good or really bad, you're going to go on the DVR, you're going to go back and watch it. And you just kind of want to know where things are going leading into the pay-per-view, which you're going to watch on the network. That's your 3 hours you're going to devote to really watching this product is the pay-per-view on the network. You're not watching Raw. It's important for you to hear us talk about it because then you can kind of keep up with things. You know what's happening going into the pay-per-view. With Impact, there's not even pay-per-views.
Yeah.
What are you keeping up with?
What are you keeping up to?
The storyline leading into the next television? I mean, there was always that theory. That, okay, you do 12 pay-per-views a year, and you wait till the last week to build up the pay-per-view, and no one really cares. If you only did 6 pay-per-views a month, you'd have twice the time to promote it, and the pay-per-views would do better. That was always a theory. Well, TNA proved that wrong, because they cut to 6 pay-per-views a year, and not only did it not make a positive difference, it actually made a negative difference. When they cut from 12 pay-per-views to 6, their pay-per-view buy rates did not go up. Their pay-per-view buy rate stayed the same or went down because there is that once a month seems to be about the perfect, it's the perfect time to run a pay-per-view. It's the same thing with UFC. When UFC runs more than one pay-per-view a month, it's usually not good unless they just have like 2 giant main events. When TNA went to one pay-per-view every other month, I mean, their own numbers went down with going to the every other month, whatever you want to call it. So once a month seems to be perfect. Now that they're at 0, no one seems to have any desire to really follow it because they're not building to anything. They're building to more television is the way it's right now. So,
but you know what's interesting, though? So and I guess this is a good comparison, and if we're going to play devil's advocate, why does Lucha Underground, I mean, it's good wrestling, but why does Lucha Underground have that buzz and TNA doesn't? Is it just a branding thing where the brand is just...
It's just so different from any other show that really there's ever been, actually. You've got this is a Robert Rodriguez production. I just had Vampiro on the show yesterday.
Which, by the way, great interview. I listened to the post-interview where he was talking about, religion and voodoo. I mean, that was actually unbelievable to hear.
Oh, yeah. So he's talking about the whole Lucha Underground production, and he's been around since 1984. He's been AAA, CMLL, All Japan, WCW, everywhere. And he said, dude, there's nothing like this. And he said it exactly like that, by the way. Dude. He said, dude, there's nothing like this, bro. It is a big-time production. And they run it like a movie. They run everything like it's on a movie set. He was talking about the backstage interviews that everybody raves about. They don't throw the guys a script, do a couple of takes, and they're out of there to do the next thing. He goes, they'll do 30 takes from 10 different angles. And then people who know what they're doing, like this is their job to make movies and television. They edit the whole thing together. As I've noted a million times on the show, you'll never see a replay. This is not like Lucha Underground is not a sports show. Lucha Underground is a television show about a pro wrestling promotion. And that's exactly how it is. It looks different. The wrestling is different. The storylines are different. The characters are different. Every last single thing about it is different. When TNA was just floundering around for years and years, all people said was, there's only one WWE, and if you're going to be the alternative, you've got to be something different. Remember that?
Yeah.
And they were never different. And they're not even different now.
You know what, though? I'll tell you. You know when different. TNA felt kind of important? Remember that big show they did in Chicago a couple years ago? Where they really upped the production on that? I mean, like, what was that?
What show was it?
I can't remember. It was TNA. It was a TV. It was on Spike, and they had a show in Chicago. It was a live show, and I was watching it, and I go, wow, you know, they feel big league just looking at it, right? Like looking at this, like it was a bigger arena. The production was at 120% at this point. And you look at it, and they start doing promos, and they start doing backstage stuff,
and it's just
the same thing, not done well.
Yeah.
Yeah, the thing that really soured me of late, I mean, the shows aren't bad, as you noted, but at the end on Spike TV, it was so depressing. It was an empty building. It was dark.
In New York, an empty building at the Manhattan Center. Mm-hmm. That is bad. You're in a wrestling city, and you're in the Manhattan Center, in my opinion, one of the best venues to have a wrestling. I mean, Rich, you've gone a bunch of times.
Absolutely.
I've gone to a tremendous amount of shows there.
So when they left Spike, and they're dark for 6 weeks, and they're about to kick off on Destination America, and I thought, all right, forget the last 12 years or whatever. You're starting fresh.
Hit the reboot button. Mm-hmm.
And man, I watched that first show, and it was the same show in every single way.
Just with lower production.
And I was like, all right, I'm done for a while. And I ended up coming back and everything, but it's still the same show. It's better, but it's the same TNA. It's just a better version of the same TNA. And I'd rather watch Lucha Underground.
You know, for TV, if people still read TV Guide, that would be the quote. Brian Alvarez. It's the same TNA, a better version of the same TNA. That would be the quote that is used to describe it weekly. Let's talk about, and this is something I wanted to ask you. NXT, the last couple tapings have been in my opinion, but overall,
the team actually is often like that.
Yeah,
I mean there's the myth that it's always awesome. It's not always awesome. The specials are always awesome, but it's old school television. So sometimes there's just television.
Yeah. And you know what? I think it also has to do with the fatigue that you know, kicks in after taping 4 weeks worth. You know, the last 2 weeks, it's not going to be as great. But they were planning on doing a monthly special, and it went away over a day. Is there, like, what happened there? Mm-hmm. Do you know anything about that? Because that fascinates me.
I do, actually. I won't mention names, but the announcement that they were going to do monthly specials was not cleared with certain people. And when certain people heard about it, they thought it was a bad idea, and so it went back to quarterly. That's what happened.
So, okay. So someone was not happy
yeah.
with it. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
But
it's essentially exactly like when they announced that Nate Diaz, Matt Brown fight, and they hadn't cleared it with either man.
Yeah.
They argued about it, and so now the fight's off. That's exactly what happened.
But you know what's interesting about TNA? I mean, you were there for that, for the show, for that, I guess it was like a house show they did right before WrestleMania. That it was like 5,000 people. What was that experience? Yeah, the NXT one. What was that experience like for you? Because people are saying that as a show, it was okay. It wasn't better than the pay-per-views, but the audience was so into it.
Oh, yeah. NXT is an amazing phenomena in the sense that Triple H is a guy who anytime he shows up on Raw, he's hated. But when he goes to NXT, he's beloved. He brought them this great action. And all he did was he signed the best indie guys, and now he's putting him on his show. And so you've got an audience that they refuse to accept what WWE is feeding them, like with Roman Reigns. I mean, they'll boo Roman Reigns out of the building. They'll turn on him. They will not play along with WWE in terms of Roman Reigns. But then you take those exact same people and you put them in the crowd for an NXT show, and they're like, oh, we love everything. We'll cheer for it's the craziest thing when you go to the building. I mean, you've got 4,800 people who are sitting there, and they're chanting better than Raw, and they're chanting better than WrestleMania. And you know that these exact same people are going to be there 2 days later, and aside from Roman Reigns, they're going to be going crazy for everything. It is a very weird psychology.
Their reaction to it as a company, I would love to know what their is it that these are just like a group of couple hundred hardcore fans that are into it. It's not what the mainstream wants, you know, but do they see it in that sense, or do they say, oh, crap, this isn't good if they really like what's happening here, and then we do a similar thing on Raw and people hate it? Do they understand what's happening with that?
Well, you got to think about this. The NXT crowd before WrestleMania, that was the WrestleMania crowd. I mean, I doubt there was a single local there aside from Dave. Maybe there was. A small number. The few people that might live near San Jose State University were there. But I would say 95% of the people there were from out of town. They were hardcores. And so they watch NXT every single week, and they're super into it. If you ran that show in Poughkeepsie or somewhere like that, I mean, there's no guarantee you would get reactions like that. Maybe you would. I don't really know. I mean, it's just like Raw. You're going to run the show in certain areas. Nobody's going to care about anything. You run the show in the right area, everybody's going to go crazy for it. It's just like anywhere else. The NXT show before Mania was a special crowd. I mean, it was like the WrestleMania crowd. It was the Raw after WrestleMania crowd. So it's not really indicative of how the entire nation would react if you ran a show like that. It's still, NXT is still a rather niche product. I mean, Raw there's probably 8 million people who watch Raw for a period every Monday night. I mean, the rating that you get, 4 million viewers or whatever, that's an average. Okay, that's an average over 2 hours. And of the total number of people that, you know, this person watched for 20 minutes, this person watched the Cena segment, this person tuned out an hour in, you're probably looking at 8 million people who sampled Raw.
That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people.
NXT is in, at most, allegedly, 1.3 million homes, and not every single solitary one of those people is watching NXT. So the viewership is much, much smaller. It's a much more hardcore base. It's hard. It looks like it's super hot, but I mean, you are going to bring the divas to Raw, and I mean, the overall audience, the casual audience that goes to television tapings and watches Raw, they're not going to give the divas a chance. We see it every Monday night.
Yeah, it doesn't really translate too well on Raw for some reason. So I want to ask you a couple things, because I know you got to go and do your radio show. You do a radio show, Brian. I don't know if people know this about you. You do like 4,000 radio shows a week.
Something like that.
Something. So at 3 o'clock, you got to go and record your show. But a couple things I want to touch on. One, Extreme Rules is coming up. What do you make of this card? What do you make of this pay-per-view that's coming up? Because it's I just feel like after Mania, you have to have this like hotness. You got to have, you know, it's the restart. It's new angles. It's new things happening. And it just has gone back, like you said, it's just gone back to where it was prior to WrestleMania. So where are you in this?
Well, to be fair to them, I mean, most years Extreme Rules is just a lot of WrestleMania rematches. I mean, this is traditionally how they do it. I mean, the only one that really bothers me actually is this Big Show Roman Reigns match, which I just wish they would end this feud forever.
It's been going on for a year.
For as long as I watch wrestling, I never see this match ever again.
Oh no, that's Cena Orton, 2015.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh God, not just 2015. I mean, it's well, yeah, you're right. I know what you mean. So yeah, I mean, a lot of the matches. Cena and Rusev, I'm not really into that because I don't care about a Russian chain match. But Ziggler and Sheamus, aside from the stupid stipulation, that should be good. Dean Ambrose, Luke Harper should be good. Rollins, Orton should be good. The pre-show match with New Day and Tyson. I mean, from talking to people in the company, they do expect this to be like a good in-ring show. Like this, I think they feel this is one of those shows where people will bury the card and they'll say they're not into it. And then the show will take place and they'll be like, oh, I didn't expect it to be so good. Yeah. I think that's this show. They seem to be less enthused about the payback show, which I don't know what that means. But this one, they seem to think is actually going to be pretty good. So we'll see. It's your traditional Extreme Rules show. A bunch of goofy stipulations for WrestleMania rematches.
There's so much I gotta. There's so much to ask. Daniel Bryan, is he off the card? Is he?
I don't know.
Yeah.
No one knows.
No one knows. We're a couple days away and nobody knows.
The answer seems to be yes, but because they haven't announced it, that means he may be on the card. But I mean, the people there think he's off the card. I mean, the word that I got was he's out 5 weeks, but that's not official.
Okay.
But that was straight from somebody there yesterday. So,
I mean,
he's out 5 weeks, he's off the show.
What's crazy is that they haven't really said what's wrong other than banged up, right? Banged up is what everybody's reporting. We heard a concussion, then we heard no concussion. They said his neck, and it wasn't his neck. So we don't really know what happened.
No. And I'm on WWE.com right now on Thursday. And there is no update whatsoever about what is going on with Daniel Bryan. And I'm actually trying to check the Extreme Rules card. And I mean, as of last night, they were still listing this as a match on the show.
Wow.
Which, if he's not on the show, they really shouldn't be doing. But, yep, it is still up there listed as a match for the show. Daniel Bryan and Wade Barrett for the Intercontinental title. So I don't have an answer for you.
That's so weird.
All I know is he's banged up.
Yeah.
Backstage injury.
Backstage injury. That's what I'm saying too.
I just called it.
You did.
You can't just call
it. I'm taking it from you. I'm taking it.
I honest to God think they will announce on SmackDown tonight in like a backstage segment that wasn't shown before the crowd that he's off the show. And once they announce that tonight, they'll take it off the website. And Dave is very much against that because his whole thing is if it's an injury, they should just announce it. I mean, forget the television thing, but I just feel that that's what they're going to do. I could be wrong, but
this
I mean, why else with not any update right now?
This poor guy. I mean, it's the same thing as last year.
Mm.
Same exact thing. I
feel very bad for the guy, and I don't want to pile on him because I really do like the guy. But you don't need to be taking half Nelson German suplexes on your head in a 3-minute match.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And when he came back, he was wrestling a little different. He was a little smarter. You know, he was a little bit more careful, but that went out the window.
He was doing a lot of stuff. And he even did an interview. Maybe I misinterpreted him, but in an interview he was talking about I've been testing my neck.
Yeah.
And I was like, "You're testing your neck? What if the test fails?"
Yeah. Yeah.
Neck, you know what I mean? Like go in there and test how good a match you can do without landing on your head. That's the way I would look at it. But apparently he was testing his neck and now he's banged up. And I mean, realistically, I'm not going to blame him because the word we got was that Sheamus really put a beating on him, and there was heat on Sheamus. So it was nothing that Bryan did. But I still do not see, and I know they were mad at him for that half Nelson German that he took in that 1 3-minute TV match. You just don't need to be doing stuff like that. I watched him do a full comeback on SmackDown last week. He didn't take one bump, and nothing, it was a great comeback, and the place went crazy. So if you can do that, I'm not saying, hey, Daniel Bryan should never take a bump again, but that's being a good worker. I mean, that's what it used to be back in the day. If you were hurt, you didn't get time off because you wouldn't get paid. And so that did lead to a lot of guys, you know, doing a lot of drinking and everything like that. But if you avoided that stuff, getting hurt taught you to be a better worker. If I screw up my shoulder, I've got to do a whole match and protect my shoulder, right? So that's how guys learn to work. You had to work around this injury. You had to work around that injury. It turned guys into better workers. And of course, some of them did it wrong. You know, oh, my back hurts. I'll just get all pilled up and go do all the same stupid things that I did. But some guys just learned to work around it. They became better workers. And that, to me, if you've got an injury, you work around the injury. You don't go out there and do the same stuff and test it and do whatever else. That's just, you're it's inevitable you're going to get hurt again.
You're going to get hurt, especially when you're, you know, you have a history of being hurt. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, that was almost a career-ending injury as far as we know. And, you know, if it's your neck, I mean, we've seen what's happened to guys that have had neck injuries like that. And it's never good.
No.
You know?
It's never good. Not even for health, but... I mean, a lot of people have mentioned this to me. If you look at like Dolph Ziggler and there are many other guys as well, but I remember Dolph specifically because they were starting to give Dolph a big push. People forget this because it was so brief, but they were starting to give him a big push and he got a concussion.
And that was it.
That was it. And I'm not saying that Daniel Bryan, if he comes back and he's all healthy, is not going to be a main eventer, because he is. You know, he is a main eventer. But the idea that he's ever going to get a long run with the title from this point forward, I would bet you good money you'll never see it. Because I think that he has finally hit that point where Vince is just going to say, dude's injury prone. He's just always going to get hurt.
Yeah.
And so he'll always push him. He'll always be a top-level guy, but he's not going to be...
the guy.
His guy, because of things like this. That's just the way that Vince operates. People have told me this over and over. I mean, they haven't said like he's done with the guy, but like he's done with the idea that you can run with this guy, because in his mind, and of course it's wrestling. So, I mean, Hunter's had far more injuries than Daniel Bryan, I'm sure, but Hunter always gets the chance because he's Hunter.
Well, he's also gone away for a longer time too. I mean, he went away. What was it? The quad injury was what, 8 months? And then he went away again for a couple of months. I mean, he's
there's a different standard when you're a tippy top guy that they feel is one of their main guys, and I don't think they've ever put Bryan in that echelon.
So I want to talk to you. I want to touch on 1998, because this has become a part of the show now, because I've obsessed over 98. I went through all the WCW pay per views and saw the transition from that company as a pay-per-view goes. I cannot wait till they start putting the Nitro, so you start seeing how everything falls apart after 90, you know, after a certain time period. But 98 in the WWF at the time was a fascinating year, because the beginning of 98 is awful. I mean in-ring matches that you see on TV, for all the people that say wrestling sucks now, WWE sucks, one of the worst matches, I'm not talking about the Divas match, but like a bad match on Raw is still better than most of the stuff that was happening in 98. But the fascinating thing is to see the transition of that company after Austin got the title. I mean, everything from the crowd to performance. I mean, it seems like everybody stepped up their game. Even guys that were having crappy matches over and over again now are starting to have better matches. Things are getting put together. I mean, you cover this stuff. What was it? What was the catalyst that changed the way that things were happening in 98? Was it just things just started moving and that was it? Momentum picked up?
It's all about the dude on top. I mean, I remember during that period, I reviewed every single show. And the kind of the contrast was, for a long time, WWE would have these really good main events with guys like Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, etc. And they'd have these absolutely wretched undercards. And meanwhile, WCW was bringing in all of these cruiserweights, Benoit, Guerrero, list goes on and on. And they were having these awesome undercards, and then they would have these wretched main events. And a thing that I always noticed, because I would get feedback immediately after every show, and people remember the end. And so if you had a WWE show that just had a god-awful undercard and then a great main event, these people would be writing in going, oh my God, what a great show that was. And then WCW would have this blowaway undercard on a pay-per-view, and then it'd be Roddy Piper versus Hulk Hogan in a cage match. It's one of the worst matches of all time.
By the way, it was a first blood cage match where they bled, and wasn't that the one? Wasn't it a first blood cage match, or was that the Flair one?
It may have, I don't remember.
Well, one of them, it was a first blood cage match, and they bled, and they didn't stop the match. It just kept going, and I think it was like a pinfall that ended up ending the match.
There were many instances like this. But the point was, you have a great main event or a great undercard and a bad main event, and all of a sudden everyone's flooding in going, what a terrible pay-per-view. And so the thing with Austin was awesome. And The Rock was awesome. And Mick Foley was awesome. And as much as people like to rag on Hunter, I mean, he was pretty awesome when he was really hitting his stride. And so people remembered the cool stuff at the end. People remembered Steve Austin shoving Mike Tyson. They remembered Steve Austin hitting Vince McMahon with a stunner. They remembered The Rock and Mick Foley and all of these things. And it was the end of the show, and it was a big deal. And again, this is the case. It's been the case for a million years. It's going to be the case a million years down the road. If you have a great storyline with compelling characters and a great soap opera, forget the wrestling. Yeah. You can have the worst wrestling in the world, and if people are into the stories and the characters, you're hot. It's just the way it is. And that's the way it was during Raw's boom period. They had a bunch of very, very, very talented guys on top. And really, once WCW started to really collapse, and then you had guys jumping ship over to WCW, and so now you had like a main event scene with all these great guys, Austin, Rock, etc. Which, by the way, to get an Austin is so hard. To get a Rock is probably a once in a lifetime deal.
To get him at the same time.
Exactly, you had him at the same time, and then you started filling up your undercard later in 99 and 2000. With these guys, these old WCW guys who were great undercard guys but never got a chance, and now they're here. Jericho, Benoit, Guerrero, all these guys started coming over. So now you've got this rockin' main event scene, and you've got this rockin' undercard scene, and it's like, oh, this is what everybody remembers. But if you look back a little further, like, you know, 97, 98, I mean, WCW in 1998, they were doing gangbusters business. I see the book in the background
right there.
Yeah, go read the 1998 chapter, and I'm writing all about how they've done X number of sellouts in a row. Business is booming. They think they're on top of the world, but you can see all of the cracks in the foundation that nobody there bothered to try to plug. It was just, I'll keep doing the same thing. As long as we got Hogan, we're great.
Well, wasn't it in 98 that Bobby Heenan turned to Tony Schiavone and said, it's over for us? I forgot what show it was. He's like, it's over for us.
Whenever they beat Goldberg.
Yeah, when they beat Goldberg, yeah.
I think it was the end of 98, early 99.
Yeah. He turned, he's like, it's over. We're done. This company's going to... He's like, what are you talking about? What are you, insane? He's like, no, we're done.
Starrcade 98.
Starrcade 98, that was it.
That was it. He got hit with the cattle prod.
Starrcade 97 was the beginning of the end, too, in a lot of ways. There were so many beginnings of the end.
The finish of that, yeah. So, but when the NW got created, that was the beginning of the end and the beginning at the same time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
At the same time. I know, Brian, you got to go. WrestlingObserver.com, obviously. The book on Amazon. You could order it. I'm a big fan of the book myself. So I tell everybody, if you want to understand what happened to the state of professional wrestling, go get The Death of WCW, because it explains so much. And I would love to one day you just come on and we just do like a retrospective of WCW, because the end was so crazy. I mean, just You didn't know. People honestly thought it was still a work. They did believe that this was over. People thought this whole thing was a giant work, and here was coming, you know, Eric Bischoff was going to save them, or someone was going to save them, and nobody saved them.
Nobody saved.
It's sad, actually. I have some of your IATA stuff, and actually, it's available on YouTube. I don't know if you want to talk about
that's
that.
That's fine.
But they have some of those on YouTube. You put that there? Okay. They have – it's on YouTube, and I think it's like March 19th, 20th, 21, 22. Like, it's that lead up from the last pay-per-view to, I guess, it being over. And just like the – you guys are so sad – but it's like this had to, it was going to happen.
Put it out of its misery.
It had to be put out of its misery.
What
so.
Was really sad was the simultaneous rise and fall of IATA and WCW. Because 99, 2000, we were on fire. And then WCW goes out of business. And we were out of business probably 3 months later. IATA just went under. And it was like, huh, that sucks.
Yeah. I wonder what this means.
It really sucked for me because I moved out on that IATA money and then it disappeared.
Oh, no.
Like, oh, okay. Time to hustle.
For people who don't know what IATA is, I interviewed Brian. You should go check it out for the IIB. And we discussed all about IATA and internet broadcasting and how it got started and what happened. Brian, thanks, man, for coming on. I really appreciate it. Love to have you on again soon.
Yeah,
I know you're busy. You're doing your show every day now on Sport Byline.
Through Friday. Yeah, noon Pacific. You can just go to, it's everywhere, but if you go to WrestlingObserver.com at noon, I'll have a giant post with every conceivable way to listen to this show. It's on Sirius Satellite Radio, the Sunday show. We're still working on the Daily Show for Sirius, but Sports Byline USA, it's on the internet, American Forces Radio, Cable Radio Network. The list goes on and on, but it's impossible to not listen to. If you can hear this show, it's impossible to not listen to this show for free every day. So noon Pacific, every single day.
Great, great stuff over there at WrestlingObserver.com. Brian Alvarez, everybody. We'll be back right after this. We're back, everybody. That was great. Brian was here. A lot of information. I can't wait to do that WCW thing with him where we talk about just WCW.
Always great to have him on the show. Way to ask those questions, Andrew.
Wink. Wink. That was great to have him on. I'm a big fan of his stuff. I'm a big fan of Meltzer. I rate everything with how many stars Dave Meltzer gives. I give everything minus stars.
This pizza pie from down the block.
2 stars.
I know you don't like the Dallas Andros diner.
Dallas Andros, -5 stars.
Every time I pass by that place, I think of you. And it stops me from going in there.
Do not ever go in there.
Yeah, see,
that place is the worst. Guys, we're going to wrap it up for this week. Go to our website, gfqnetwork.com. If you miss any portion of the show, of course, you can catch us archived there. Subscribe to the show. We're everywhere podcasts are available. We're on iTunes. We're on Windows Phone. We are on almost every Android application you could possibly imagine. Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio. We're everywhere you could listen to a podcast. Follow me on Twitter, at Andrew Zarin. You can follow Rich, BTC Rich, Matt Men Podcast on Twitter and on Facebook. So Extreme Rules coming up Sunday. And let's see where we go from there.
Oh, yeah.
We'll see y'all next week, guys. Take care.